Good evening and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you from the Radio Ranch. And oh, it's been a cloudy day today. Kind of cool, not as bad. It wasn't rainy or snowy like the last few days and like what's coming. But it was still a good inside day working on the online newsletter, Volume 7. I'll talk about that a little bit tonight. Taking phone calls, talking to people during the day, and so praise the Lord. It's a great day, a great day. And as Dad used to say, when people would ask him how he's doing, he'd say, well, no, nobody's in jail, and nobody's in the hospital, so I guess we're doing pretty good. And we are doing well. Praise the Lord. They had a great Wednesday night prayer meeting last night. Hope you joined us. Hope you enjoyed that, listening to the praise reports and the prayers that were offered up. And we'll have to get that phone line a little bit later. And we'll definitely have to do that. But anyway, great day. Today, the 11th of October, 2018. Thank you for joining us. And we better go to our Heavenly Father in prayer before I get any further, or I'll be so absent-minded I won't be able to get through this. But I can do all things through Christ Jesus, so with Him we carry on. So join me, won't you? Well, Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this beautiful day that you gave us, Lord. A good day for the remnant, Lord. A day to glorify you, to work, to be about your business, Lord, working on our newsletter and getting your truths, your word out to your people. And I thank you for that, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. Father, thank you for those of the remnant that I'm allowed to talk to and to minister to and to work with and Lord, hopefully to help. And I thank you for that, Lord. We love you. Lord, if you want us to feed your sheep, here we are. That's what you told the apostles of old, that if they loved you, feed your sheep. Well, Father, we love you. And so we're doing our best. Guide and direct us. Help us to feed your sheep. I pray for your Holy Spirit to be with me this evening here on the broadcast, Lord, that the things that I think, the things that I say, the things that I do, Lord, would be pleasing to you. It would be edifying to your people. That it would encourage them. That, Lord, it would encourage them to love and good deeds. Father, to forgive as they have been forgiven. And to glorify you with every thought, word, action, and deed. Lord, I thank you for our pastor, our beloved pastor, Lord, that worked tirelessly, that built on that foundation, on that rock of Jesus Christ, that built this ministry, Lord, with your help and with your blessings. And Heavenly Father, I ask that you would allow us to continue to build upon that ministry, Lord, to continue to, in Jesus' name, and continuing to build on that solid rock, that you would allow us to keep on keeping on, that you would allow us to keep on getting the truth of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, out to the remnant. Lord, we know that the masses won't hear it. Lord, we send it to the masses on shortwave and internet, audio satellite. Lord, we send it out but it is the remnant, the truth junkies that hear it. We thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for them. Strengthen us and provide for us, Lord, to be able to continue to do that, to be able to continue to strengthen and provide for your remnant. Lord, I pray all this to your glory. In Jesus the Nazarene's name, amen and amen. And remember, folks, we do that. We have quite a few new people that come on throughout the weeks and the months and the years. And but we do broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at our website, scripturesforamerica.org. You can also tune in to the network website, sfawbn.org, or .com, actually, I guess, sfawbn.com is that. But and that's the network's website, and many of the messages are archived there, and our complete broadcasting schedule there, and the SFAW Newswire is there. And so quite a bit. There's quite a bit that goes out all over the world on the internet. Recently, just in the last month or two, we've had some new people in Italy that we've been sending some material to, and South Africa, and new people in Canada, and in the Philippines, down in the islands as well. And so praise the Lord. The message goes out. It's not about us. It's not about this program, 7x70. It's not about Richard. It's not about Jason or John. It's about Jesus Christ and the Word. And it's about God the Father and reading the Word and believing the Word and applying and living what that Word tells us. All of it, not just the New Testament, but all of it. Because that New Testament, we have to remember, is grounded and founded in the Old Testament. And so we do have to remember that. Like I said, the weather, boy, we've got some weather coming in this weekend. Supposed to be pretty decent tomorrow, maybe a little sunshine, and cold on the weekend. Single digits, maybe below zero already. That's a little tough before mid-December. But that's the way it is. And so looking forward to that. We can talk a little bit about this hurricane. You know, we're in the 30s and 20s, and down there in Florida there in the 90s, and having hurricanes. We'll talk a little bit about that as the evening goes on. Have a couple notes on that. Well, we did just get finished printing and mailing Dragon Slayer, the latest one, Volume 7, 2018. So be looking for that probably the beginning of the week. Let's see, we got it mailed out Tuesday afternoon, and it usually takes about a week to get across the country. So I'd say first of the week, if you're on the Dragon Slayer newsletter list, start looking in your mailboxes for it. And, of course, if you have any problems with the delivery, just let us know. We've had just a couple of people, issues with the post office. But if you have that, let us know. By all means, let us know. And we'll have it emailed out and posted to the website this week. It's a little different format that we email out, an interactive, full-color, printable PDF format, and that takes a few days of itself, just taking the material and getting it into that format, the program that we use, that Jason found for us, and a very professional, expensive program that we use, and then get it converted into a PDF. But that way it's color, it's interactive, and it's in a way that we can email it out to you. So we'd be glad to do that as well. If you'd like to get the newsletter via email, you can send us an email. And our email address here at the office is preacher@sfaw.org. Again, that's preacher@sfaw.org. And say, hey, send me that newsletter, and we'll be glad to do it. So, Volume 7, The Black Robed Regiment. Seen some emails around about this, but sometimes we just have to get back to the basics. We have to get back to the basics, and it's good for us to know. You know, Thanksgiving coming up, and it's good for us to know and to get back to the basics, to remind ourselves, to strengthen ourselves, to prepare ourselves to defend the Christian founding and foundation of this country. And when we don't do it very often, we can get rusty on those things. And so we want to be comfortable with it and be aware And so I encourage you. John's article from the Ramrod goes through that quite a bit, as well as the Black-Robed Regiment. Boy, there were some things in here that I was certainly unaware of, but I'm aware of them now that our brother Jonathan brought them out. And as he says in here, it is a critical time. This is a critical time in our nation's history, in our nation's life, in our life. You know, we are here. God has us here and now for a reason, for a purpose. And many times we don't know what that is. Or we may get to where we just don't have a good understanding of what it is and how it is maybe God's working in our life, or how we are to be working in other people's lives. And so we find that out from prayer, but also from keeping abreast, staying abreast of what's going on, and not necessarily just watching the news, but trying to see and praying for wisdom and discernment, making the right choice, choosing life, choosing restoration and revival over death and judgment. And when we make those choices, and we pray and we ask, God will let us know what we are to do, what we are to do, where we are to go, what and who we are to talk to, and what we are to bring up. And so if we pray and ask, we will. Have an excellent article in here about prostate health, and we've got a new product out. Hopefully this next newsletter will have a little more information on it, and we'll have it. But we did advertise it. Again, excellent article, and it's called, I've been taking it, it's called ProstaPlus. And it's a it's another item that Jason's come up with, and it's I think it's great. You look at the ingredients, it's a really good thing. We've got it advertised, at least in the order form. And I think Jason's been talking about it. I've been getting some orders here at the office, and I know Jason's been getting some orders. And because we see that prostate problems are a huge problem in this country. I remember Pastor Peters preaching and teaching on this on his nightly broadcast years ago. Now, it's been 7.5 years since Pastor Peters passed away. So I'm talking 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years ago. It was an issue. It is a greater issue now. Most older men that I know are fighting either prostate cancer or serious prostate issues. And when I was a teenager and had uncles and great uncles, I remember growing up and my dad had 6 or 8, 10 uncles around and aunts, and they were his great uncles and great aunts. They were his grandparents' brothers and sisters that were out. Not his parents, his grandparents. And we just don't have that anymore. We don't. And one of the reasons are the prostate problems that we're having. Now, certainly we address it in prayer. Certainly we do all we can to address it, and we should, doing whatever we can physically, whether it's exercises or correcting a diet type thing. There have been advances in the medical field. We call them advances. But we should, and then as well, we should supplement with whatever we can. And so that's what this ProstaPlus is. So not really to be a, well, I guess it is kind of an infomercial to let you know about it. Don't really have any data other than it advertised in the order form in this Volume 7. Jason is working on an article. We're hoping to jump right back into to Volume 8 and get that right back out to you as soon as possible. And we're going to try to have some more information in that. Regarding that. Also have just a one page in here, but had a member of the Remnant, and I'll give a shout out to him, not by name, but he knows who he is, and praise God. But we put it in the newsletter, hopefully to be an encouragement to you. And it's a member of the Remnant that is fighting abortion. No, not standing outside a clinic. No, not doing physical things like that, but making up small flyers, business card, and little flyers that are small enough you can put in an envelope and send it off with maybe your mail, maybe your letters, maybe your bills, in your correspondence. And it just says, America, stop murdering babies by abortion. And it's just plain and simple. It's in red and blue. It's on a white background. It's red, white, and blue. And it is what one man has been led to do. And he sent us a couple of boxfuls of these things. And so I've been trying to include them in our orders, include them when we send things out to the remnant, because it's what we need to do. The term abortion, just like homosexuality and adultery, and now it's pedophilia that's come in. The more that we hear about these things, without the condemning word, that the word needs to condemn sin, without it being associated with sin, the more acceptable it becomes. When I was in high school, and I've been out of high school 35 years, it was not talked about. It was not in the vernacular. It was not in the vocabulary. I don't know if that vernacular word was used correctly, so I'll stay away from the big words. Try to. But it wasn't something people, it wasn't on our minds. It wasn't something people talked about. Now, certainly it went on. It did. But it wasn't as widespread and as acceptable as it is today. I think it was understood that, you know, that's what it was. And to those that maybe that have had abortions, you know, the forgiveness of God is there. The forgiveness of Jesus Christ. We read all through that. We read how Paul, he all but murdered Christians. He did it out of ignorance, he said. And he was forgiven. And there is forgiveness available if you seek it. If you go to God in repentance. That is a sin, but it can be forgiven. Sins can be forgiven. They're not automatically. I mean, Jesus went to the cross to forgive us. But we have to do our thing. We have to confess our sins, and then we have to ask Him to forgive us and repent. And that repent, we have to remember, means to change. It applies to the sin of abortion. It applies to the sin of being a drunk. It applies to the sin of pornography. It applies to every sin that there is. We have to remember that. We have to kind of be careful not to just jump on the condemnation bandwagon sometimes, but to see people where they are, just like we try to see our children where they are. We try to see things from our children's perspective sometimes, when we're talking to them, when we're helping them out, doing things for them, and helping guide and direct and lead them and training them up in the way they should go. Well, we have to sometimes look at maybe a brother or sister that might either be caught up in sin or have previous sins. And without repentance and without forgiveness, it can be a miserable life. It really can. But when we do those things, we have to remember that as a Christian, when we repent, when we return to God, to the limit of our ability, as much as we can, it doesn't make us perfect. Just forgiven. And it comforts us, as Corinthians says, and I say it a lot, I try to, so that we can comfort others. And we have to remember, it's not just us. We can't be like the Dead Sea and just have this forgiveness and this grace and mercy flow into us and stop there. See, that's why the Dead Sea is dead. It's because all these rivers flow into it and nothing flows out. It just takes, and it doesn't give. And we don't want to be like that. We don't. We can't be like that as Christians. We can't. And so I encourage you, as you've been comforted, as it says there in 2 Corinthians, well, then that it's so that we can comfort others in their affliction. And as we have been forgiven, it is so that we can help others achieve that forgiveness and get to that and understand that that's available and help them get to that. So, well, let me get a drink of water here, excuse me. Lots of current events going on, and going to talk about that Hurricane Michael here in just a minute, but thought I would, saw this. This kind of caught my eye. You know, I've tried in the Sunday morning review of the news, the diseases that keep popping up in this country. Chaka fever, ague, what is it, the resistant tuberculosis, treatment-resistant tuberculosis, things like that. Syphilis, I talked about just a few weeks ago, how that has just made a huge comeback, how babies born with that, that they're contracting it from their mother during birth, has jumped like 153% in the last 4 years. And that was up till 2017 numbers. I mean, it just, these diseases, these things that are coming up are just, oh, they're heartbreaking. And we think, well, you know, with all the so-called advances in modern medicine, you know, why are we having that? Well, here's the latest from Pennsylvania and Illinois. More, quote, polio-like illnesses reported there. In the recent weeks, 6 cases known as acute flaccid myelitis, AFM. How about that? I should have started with that. AFM is what they're calling it because they come up with it all kind of names. Has been diagnosed in several children in Minnesota, a state that they usually only see about 1 case a year. But they've had 6 in the last recent weeks. And this past Tuesday, Pittsburgh was treating 3 children with that. And Illinois, 9 children reported with it. Now, you might think, oh, 3, 6, 9, what kind of numbers are these? There's not much. But this is something that we have not seen in this country. Maybe states see 1 a year. And just right now, they're treating 3, 6, 9. Colorado has confirmed 14 cases this past year of this AFM. And it is like, it's like polio. Weakness, loss of muscle tone, problems with reflexes, facial dropping, difficulty swallowing, slurred speech, and it has been, there have been increases since 2014 of this AFM. And they talk about, they say, well, they don't really know what causes it, and it was linked in 2014, it coincided with an outbreak of the enterovirus D68, and part of the, you know, the poliovirus and enteroviruses, and, but looked into this a little bit, and another name for this, a nickname, is called the Middle Eastern polio. And it is a disease that is usually associated with foreigners, not domestic here in the United States. And I want to talk about that a little bit. Let's go over to Exodus 15. Way back in the beginning. You know, sometimes we have to do that. We have to just get back to the beginning. And get a good base for understanding. For understanding. At Exodus 15, and then starting about the middle of 25, it says, there he made for them a statute and regulation, and there he tested them. And he said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, not your sight, but in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you, which I have put on the Egyptians. For I, the Lord, am your healer. Well, when we see these diseases coming back upon us, could it be because we haven't given earnest heed to the voice of the Lord our God? We haven't done what is right in his sight. We haven't given ear to his commandments. We haven't kept his statutes. And you know, I've kind of talked about this before, but, well, it's still true. It really is. And so, you know, we can come up with all the vaccinations and diets and this and that, and try to seclude ourselves up on a mountaintop, and all, we can do all that we want. But until we get back to the cause of these things, we're not going to get them fixed. How about Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy 7, I think, is where I want to go. That's right back there in the Old Testament. Yep, just passed it. Deuteronomy I didn't print these out, but I've got these notes here. Deuteronomy 7. And it talks about the warnings and then the promises. Deuteronomy 7, verse 15 says, "The Lord will remove from you all the sickness, and he will not put on you any of the harmful diseases of Egypt, which you have known, but he will lay them on all who hate you." And that, again, if you look up in verse 12 of Deuteronomy 7, "It shall come about because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you his covenant and his loving kindness. He will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will bless the fruit of your womb." I'm going to talk about that a little bit in a minute too. If you obey, if you keep and do these judgments, these statutes, these ordinances, does that mean the law of sacrifice? No. You know, today's Bible reading plan, let me flip back over there. It's was going to wait on this, but it applies here. Jeremiah 21 and 22. And in Jeremiah 21, verse 12, it says, "O house of David, thus says the Lord, administer justice every morning." See, that's what we are to do, because the world, apart from God, is unjust. We are to do what his word tells us to do. Why? Well, one reason is so we won't have the diseases of the other peoples come upon us. Yet, we are having the diseases of the other world come upon us. Why? Because we are not keeping his statutes, doing what he tells us to do. You want to cure the diseases? You want to get rid of this ague and monkey fever and antibiotic or treatment-resistant tuberculosis and syphilis and these things? Administer justice every morning. Obey these words. Do what he says to do. Deuteronomy 28, of course, we flip over there. We've read this many times. I was back up in Jeremiah. Let me flip back there to Deuteronomy 28. Of course, we've read this starting in maybe just a couple verses here. Starting in verse, we'll start down in, and this is part of the consequences of disobedience. This is what happens when we turn from God. When we say, "No, we got it figured out. We'll do it our way." We can't have God in school. It's not fair. It's discriminatory. We can't tell people that homosexuality is wrong. It might offend them. And now it's a hate crime. Well, Deuteronomy 28, starting in verse 58. "If you are not careful to observe all the words of this law, which are written in this book, to fear this honored and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring extraordinary plagues on you and your descendants, even severe and lasting plagues and miserable and chronic sicknesses. He will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt of which you were afraid, and they will cling to you, and also every sickness and every plague which, not written in the book of this law, the Lord will bring on you until you are destroyed." It really is as simple as that. Typhus. I don't think I've got the paperwork here. Typhus. I have heard on the radio and seen a little article. I printed it. I don't think I brought it back here tonight. On typhus is just growing in leaps and bounds in Los Angeles. Typhus. The plagues, the diseases, what are you going to do? So what do? The plagues are coming. Well, turn over to Luke. Luke chapter 7. And let's take a look and let's read and see if we have some words of wisdom here. Luke 7. And let's look here, maybe verse... let's start in verse 21. And here is, the story. This is Jesus, of course, they're talking to. John is imprisoned, and he's a little discouraged. You know, he's asking and saying, are you the expected one, or do we look for someone else? And Jesus says in verse 21, he says, at that very time he cured many people of diseases and afflictions and evil spirits, and he gave sight to many who were blind. And he answered and said to them, go and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And then in verse 23 of John 7, Jesus said, blessed is he who does not take offense at me. And that really is what it's coming down. You know, there's headlines that, oh, there's a civil war brewing between the red and the blue. We've seen the filth and the rage, the outrage that the Democrats have come up with. Yeah, we've seen it. We've seen it. Not talking about, we might talk about it a little bit on Saturday morning. Not going to go there now. But we see this. We see this divide coming. Well, there's also a divide coming based on this right here, where Jesus said, blessed is he who does not take offense at me. See, there are some, and I think it'll tie into something here in a minute too, there are some that are offended at Jesus. There are some whom the name and the thought of Jesus offends. Well, see, if you're in sin, and somebody comes to you and addresses it and points it out to you, see, that's just human nature to become defensive about that. And these people that are in sin, one, they either know it and they just don't care. It don't matter. Or two, maybe they don't know it. But we serve the great physician. We serve a loving God who does this very thing. Returns sight to the blind and allows the lame to walk and cleanses the lepers and gives hearing to the deaf and raises up the dead. And people are offended at that today, just as they were in the days that Jesus walked this earth as a man. But we are not to be offended at that at all. And then in Luke 9, verse 1, and Jesus called the 12 together, and he gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. Brother, that day may be coming back. That day may be fast returning. We definitely are to proclaim, and we are seeing healings to the glory of God, not to the glory of us, not to glorify this king, this ministry, not to glorify any of us, not to glorify our prayers or what we may have figured out, no. To glorify God. We have been given power and authority. So these polio-like diseases, they come. They continue to come. We have seen them in the past, and we will continue to see them in the future. Until we return to Him. Had this out of the going from the East Coast to West Coast. A salmon in the Puget Sound area testing positive for 81 different drugs, including Prozac, cocaine, birth control. Talking about the contaminated water. And, you know, I think that this is it's a result of the sorcery that's in the land. It really is. It really is. These drugs that have been made that have been just peddled on a mainly unsuspecting public. The sheep that don't know that this stuff is, you know, it comes from wolves in sheep's clothing. They just don't know it. said here, salmon caught in the Puget Sound were recently found to be contaminated with a toxic mix of 81 drugs and chemicals. And you know, just Lipitor and Tylenol and Valium and Zoloft and nicotine and caffeine and antiseptics and, let's see, Cipro, antibiotics, Paxil, Flonase, Lipitor, Benadryl. So many people take this stuff all the time. And it, you know, maybe it helps momentarily, but it just, it's flushed out. And the wastewater treatment facilities, they don't filter for any of these things. So it's just right back into the, you know, into the water supply. Said here the study that was done had problems even in the control waters. You know, when they do a study, they say, well, here's some clean water, so let's test these fish. And we get a base. Okay, these are clean, don't have it. And then we'll compare it. We'll test fish from different places and then compare them, and we can judge how much you know, drug residue is in the water. Even the supposed clean waters off the Nisqually Estuary, a water source not near a wastewater plant or anything else where that was supposed to be the clean reference, they tested positive for high levels of drugs even there. The quantities, the thousands, tens, 30, 40, 60 thousands of pounds of drugs and chemicals that are just being pushed back, that flow back into these areas. You know, you couple this with the, I know Jason's reported on it, we've talked a little bit about it on Saturdays before, but on the radiation that's being found in the fish off the West Coast. Said researchers are concluding that drugs in the water are turning clams into hermaphrodites, and antidepressants in the water might be the reason shrimp are just dying. Committing suicide, they've got it down. Killing themselves. You know, folks, I don't know what kind of water you have at home. Pray over your food, but even your water. Get a filter. Have some type of filter. You know, they sell these Brita pitchers and different filter systems. Different people sell systems, ceramics and this. Get a filter. We don't sell them. Get a filter. Find a good filter. Do a little research and get a good filter. Filter your water. Pray over it. You know, back to the article Jason did in this newsletter about the prostate. He makes a good point against the dangers of BPA. Bisphenol A, whatever, that they call it BPA. And so just some of the issues that have been linked with that. And, you know, we've done our best to stop drinking out of just water bottles. You know, no more buying flats of water and drinking out of that, because that BPA tends to leach from those soft-sided plastic water bottles. You know, the encouragement is to get a BPA-free, like a Nalgene water bottle. But use a filter, folks. Use a filter. We encourage you to do that. You all but must. And you might say, well, I don't have a lot of money. I can't do that. Yes, you can. You can. They are affordable. You know, you can cut out, if you cut out eating out, you know, once a week or once a month, that'll give you enough money to get a good filter in your house. We've got them, pitcher type filters, and you replace the filter every month or 2 months or whatever. And my wife buys the filters in bulk, and so they're cheaper, and so we are able to do that. And so I encourage you to do that. Filter your water. We need to be doing that. Also, over on the West Coast, talked about the typhus. Is starting to increase almost to outbreak levels in the Los Angeles area. Saw this headline today, yesterday actually, but more illegal aliens are giving birth to anchor babies in the Los Angeles area than the total U.S. births in certain 14 states combined. The Center for Immigration Studies has done an analysis, reveals there are an estimated 28,000 births to illegal aliens every year in the Los Angeles metro area. This is just the Los Angeles metro area. 28,000 1,000 births. That's more than 14 states plus the District of Columbia. Can you fathom that? We wonder why we have a problem. We talk about, you know, we talk about invasion, and people look at you like, oh, you're crazy. It's just immigration. We need those people. No, it is an invasion. It is the locusts of Joel. You know, they call them anchor babies. They come in, and when you see pictures, these illegal aliens are popping kids out left and right. Meanwhile, the domestic population, and I'll say the Caucasian population, is not. Oh no, they'd rather just be on the pill and let it taint the fish as it flows on through, so to speak, or the groundwater. It's a recipe for disaster that we're looking at. And why don't we have we don't see these things on MSNBC and CNN and that type thing. And anchor babies, you have to remember, they are eventually allowed to bring an unlimited number of foreign relatives to the country through chain migration. Report here said about 1 in 5 U.S. births, or about 791,000 births, are to legal and illegal immigrant mothers this is immigrants. 1 in 5 U.S. births are to immigrants, and this is first-generation immigrants. This is not, you know, when Grandpa came over from the old country. That's not who they're talking about here. They're talking about people that have come in, and either legally or illegally, you know, we do have about 1.5 million legal immigrants in admitted into the country every year. Studies at MIT. Look like about 22 million illegal aliens in the U.S. right now. Most of your news reports talk about 12 million. No, MIT, those guys kind of know what's going on, and they do some studies. And they're saying there's about 22 million in. And we see it, geez, when you're having 28,000 births to illegal aliens every year. That adds up. It's just in the metro L.A. area. In that L.A. area, illegal alien births make up 18%. In Vegas, in the Las Vegas area, illegal alien births account for 17% of all births. 17% of all births from illegal aliens in Vegas. 18% in L.A. California, about 65,000 illegal alien births every year. Texas, about 51,000. Florida, about 16,000 a year. They are not being brought up to assimilate to become good American citizens at all. No, they're not, folks. They're not. They're brought up to hate this country and all it stands for. You know, the Bible talks about alien. Flip over a couple scriptures here. I'm sure you'd rather hear me read a scripture than talk, but let's flip over to, let me find Ezekiel. Ezekiel 31, if you can go there. Ezekiel 31. And here it's talking about, well, let me read it real quick. Ezekiel 31, I think I want to start. I encourage you to read all of it because it starts out in verse 3. It says, "Behold, Assyria was a cedar in Lebanon with beautiful branches." And it goes on and describes these beautiful blessings that have come from God. Okay? And they think that they got it made. They think their poop don't stink, that they just are just, oh, we are it. And you know, that's how a lot of people in this country feel. The Christian work ethic and the Christian ethic and the standing upon the Word of God and saying, listen, sin is sin. I don't care who's doing it. It's wrong. Whether it's abortion or adultery or homosexuality or whatever, it's wrong. And you need to stop doing it and you need to repent. The people won't stand on that. And so this is what happens. Ezekiel 31, let me pick it up in verse 9, it says, "I, meaning God, made it beautiful with the multitude of its branches, and all the trees of Eden which were in the garden of God were jealous of it." And so, you know, this is pretty high and mighty. Verse 10 says, therefore, thus says the Lord God, because it is high in stature and has set its top among the clouds, and its heart is haughty in its loftiness, therefore I will give it into the hand of a despot of the nations, and he will thoroughly deal with it. According to its wickedness, I have driven it away. Alien tyrants of the nations have cut it down and left it. On the mountains and in all the valleys, its branches have fallen, and its boughs have been broken in all the ravines of the land. And all the peoples of the earth have gone down from its shade and left it. And I think that that describes, when I saw that, I think that describes these millions, hundreds of thousands of illegal alien births occurring in the U.S. And guess who pays for those, folks? Guess who pays for those? Me and you. Oh yeah, me and you pay for those. You wonder why your roads are in, your road tax on gasoline is higher than it's ever been, and the roads are worse than they've ever been? We pay for that. You wonder why you work all your life and pay into Social Security, and you might get, you know, $300 a month back out of it, but these illegal aliens, oh, they got to have $6,000-$8,000 for having all these kids and have their hospital stay paid for. Oh, no comprende on the bill. No, we go now. I come pay tomorrow. See you later. Bye. Who pays for these? Who do you think pays for these 28,000 births to illegal aliens in the LA metro area every year? Us, folks. Us. Oh, and we pay our medical bills too. Don't forget that. Yeah, it's not that we get free medical care. No, we pay for ours and we pay for free medical care for them. Well, it's only right. It's just a basic human right. It's what you hear these left-wing antichrist libtards talking about. No. No, it's not. You go to Proverbs 5, and boy, Proverbs, the pitfalls of immorality. Oh, boy, if we couldn't just, should have just started there, I guess. I got to keep an eye on the clock. I'm about out of time. Maybe I'll come back to this. But Proverbs 5, it says, my son, give attention to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding. Verse 3 says, for the lips of an adulteress drip honey. And that's really where it is. We are to seek wisdom. When you read this in Proverbs 5, we are to seek wisdom and not to seek the adulteress and the adultery in this time that we live in. Verse 10 says, strangers will be filled with your strength, and your hard-earned goods will go to the house of an alien. There it is, Proverbs 5:10. If we do not seek wisdom. Well, you know, like I started out, our strength has gone to strangers, and our hard-earned goods has gone to the house of an alien. 28,000 of them being born every year, and we pay for it. Why? Because we haven't sought wisdom. We haven't inclined our ear to his understanding. We haven't. You know, look at the clock. Man, I got 10 minutes left? Not quite. I want to talk about this Hurricane Michael. Slammed the panhandle. It's the first major hurricane that's hit the panhandle with any type of destruction since, I think, 1850, since they started keeping records. You hear so little about this, but you know, Kanye, whatever that guy's, he's in the White House. Oh man, that's big news. And they're calling him Porch Negro on CNN. And the Negroes can do that, I guess. That's what they're calling him. Oh, he's the token, he's the Republicans and Trump's token Negro, is what they're saying. That's the big important news today. Not the 7 people that died from the hurricane. Not the 3rd most powerful hurricane in recorded history to just roar up on the U.S. mainland. Now it's a tropical storm as of just this afternoon, pushing across South Carolina, but, you know, just whipping into North Carolina, Virginia with strong winds, heavy rains, tornado threats, devastation. And the Carolinas and Virginia just got over their last hurricane they got slammed with and flooded. Oh, it gets a little byline in the mainstream media. Oh, yeah, those people, well, they got a little storm, a little flooding. And you look at the pictures, schools just gone. Gone. Category 4 storm, 155-mile-an-hour winds when it came, when it made landfall Wednesday afternoon. That's just 1 mile per hour below a Category 6 or Category 5. So it was right at the threshold of being the most, you know, Category 5 is it. That's as high as they rate. 5 confirmed fatalities in Bay County alone. They had a couple others. I think the last death toll I saw were 7. No power or phone service in Panama City. Law enforcement people calling it catastrophic. 300,000 customers without power in Florida and nearly 280,000 customers without power in Georgia. Now let's hope they get that back on. Devastation. Florida Governor Scott on Thursday morning saying so many families across the region have, quote, lost everything. Unimaginable destruction is how they're describing it. This hurricane was an absolute monster. I saw some video that was shot. As it came on, whew. And I'm from Central Florida, and we've evacuated for hurricanes. We've had people evacuate to our house for hurricanes, and we've stayed and been through some. And these pictures I saw, the video I saw, it was a monster. It was utter destruction. Storm surge of 9 feet, Mexico Beach, fate of many residents just unknown. They just don't know. They just don't know. They're just now today, Thursday, able to kind of get back into the areas and see, you know, power lines down, trees down. I got one picture here. Maybe I can share it Sunday morning. Mexico Beach, Florida, which is right up there in the panhandle, kind of the crook, you know, where Florida starts to turn instead of being from south to west and right there in that area. Just, I mean, it. There's places in Fallujah don't look this bad. And that south region, again, just hit a few weeks ago, South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia with that. Widespread roof damage to nearly every home on Tyndall Air Force Base. They all evacuated. Just gone. Gone. You know, in Job 40, we read about Job, and he talks about how God answered him in the storm. And maybe I can get on this next week some, as they start to get back and start to rebuild. I didn't get to any of these. But, you know, God is a shelter in the storm. We know the storms of life come. I want to remind you, and we're praying for you down there in Panama City. We're praying for you there in North Florida and South Georgia and the Carolinas, and we are. And I urge you, Remnant, to pray for these people. Pray for those that are His. Isaiah 25, verse 4, and Isaiah 4, verse 6, and Isaiah 33, verse 2, they all point to God being our refuge in the storm. And He is. And He is. And we pray for that. Man, I'm out of time. Whoo, didn't get the phone lines open up tonight. Sorry about that. Didn't get through my notes. Wanted to go over some more of this. And policemen praying. Police chiefs asking people to pray. Maybe we'll cover some of this on Sunday at the review of the news and Saturday morning on coffee. Guys, thanks for joining us. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. And our email, preacher@sfaw.org. And hey, come back and join us Saturday morning, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Thanks so much. We'll see you then.